Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I want to talk to you from my heart today about the promises of God in your life. One of the greatest things that can take place in a believer's life is when you hear a word from God and you know it's the voice of God, without a shadow of a doubt, you know that God has spoken to your heart and that you have a promise from God. And that promise from God is so magnificent, it's so large, it's so beyond your own capability that when you hear that word, it's almost even hard to grasp, but you know that you know that you know that you know. Have you all had that experience with God? Amen? And so the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. And the greatest moment in our life is when we hear a word from God and he promises to be with us. And I want to share and talk about what that journey looks like. Because the promises of the Lord are yes and amen, but they're not tomorrow, the next week, or the next month. Sometimes the promises of God take a long time. And you're waiting for the Lord. And your heart gets in this place where you long, you cry, it's the midnight cry, for the very thing that you know he has spoken to you. Amen? It is a journey, it is a process, and I want to talk about that journey today. I want to talk and share with you the story and the account of Abraham and Sarah with their son Isaac. I want to talk about the maidservant Hagar and Ishmael. And I want to clear up some misconceptions about this story, this account today. I know many times Abraham and Sarah get the bad rap because they stepped out of faith. They gave up on God and they tried to move along God's plan. And I just want to maybe offer a unique insight to this account. Something different. Abraham is known as our father in the faith. Amen. He's a great man who had faith. He had faith in God, but he also had expectancy. You know, there's one thing to say, oh, I have faith, and yes, I know God has good things for me, but it's another thing to have this measure of expectancy that each and every day he expected to see the very promises that God spoke into his heart. Abraham had obedience, and I want to take a look at a couple different accounts that kind of highlight that, but before I do, I want to talk about the moment Abraham heard from the Lord. Let's turn to our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. This is the first time we are introduced to Abraham, and Abraham is 75 years old. He is 75. Chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." Now listen to this promise. "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse them. All the people on the earth will be blessed through you." Abraham was 75 years old, and he heard this promise from God. And it required that he was to leave his homeland. He had to move away from everything that he knew, everything that he grew up with, every establishment, every piece of growth that he tried to create in his life, everything that was comfortable, everything that was known to him, he had to leave. And it took a great moment of faith. Amen? See, you don't leave your homeland, you don't leave everything you know if you think you heard from the Lord. You have to know that you know that you know that the Lord spoke this into your heart. Amen? And Abraham heard the voice of the Lord and accepted it in such a way that he left everything that he knew behind. Could you imagine the conversations that he had to have? Where are you going to go? We're going to go this way. Until the Lord shows us. Sometimes it's just that simple, right? So Abraham and his wife with his nephew Lot, they all leave and they leave their homeland. And they get to this specific spot, this place. And God says, I want you to see, this is the Canaan land right now, but there will be a day that this land, all of your descendants will live upon. This is a promised land to you. This is a divine spot. This is the geographic place of blessing for your household. And see, in that moment, Abraham experienced the Lord as a provider. Amen? See, it's one thing to say that you know God is your provider. It's another thing to be on a journey and you have nothing at all and God brings you to a place of blessing. Have y'all ever been there where you have absolutely no money and you don't know how you're going to make it and then all of a sudden God will send someone in your path and will just bless you unexpectedly with something and you're like, only God and God alone could do that. That's when you know that you know that you know that God is your provider. And see, in this moment, this location, this time in Abraham's life, he got to experience God as being his provider. A little time had passed, and there was a famine that hit the land, and Abraham and Lot, Sarah and Lot's wife, had to go to Egypt for refuge. And in Egypt, Abraham said to Sarah, now look, baby, I don't know if you know this, but you're pretty fine. You look good. You look so good that they're going to kill me to take you. So I want you to tell everyone you're my sister. And so what happened was he feared for his life. And in that moment, the Pharaoh saw Sarah and had eyes for her, wanted to take her for his wife. And God frustrated the plan of the enemy in such a way that Abraham not only left there freed, but he left there blessed. And in that moment, Abraham experienced God as a protector. You can say God protects me, but it's not until you're in the chambers of Pharaoh and he demands that you leave and leave with a blessing that you know that God is your protector. A little while down the road, Abraham and Lot, they begin to be so blessed and so prosperous that their clans begin to fight one another for the sheep and for the cattle and for the property. And so Abraham says, you know what? We need to go in our separate directions. We've just got too big for each other. You know, when you have a promise and a blessing, when you're on a journey with God, there is this moment where God will isolate you away from everyone else. Even your friends, even people who are close to you, who've been with you on the journey up to this point, God will say, I want you and you alone. Why? Because God wants to speak to your heart, Abraham, and he doesn't want any outside influences. And he wants you to learn how to trust in the still, small voice of the Lord. And he doesn't want it to be clouded with anyone else's opinion or influence. Now, this time can be very clumsy. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but it can be very clumsy because you got to understand that this moment was created through conflict. And most of the time it is. Abraham and Lot, they kind of were fighting over property, right? So there's this clumsy time and it kind of isolated Abraham. And in that moment, Abraham experienced God as his comforter. His comforter. A little time goes by, and what happened was Lot was positioned right in between two huge battles. There was these regional kings got together, kind of a north and south deal, if you will. And the north side had about four kings, and the south side had about four kings. They all got together, and one of the regions of the kings came and attacked, and they sacked everything. And right in the middle of this was Lot, and Lot lost all of his possessions. He was captured, and Abraham heard this. Abraham is a man of faith and obedience, right? And so he musters up 318 men and fights an army. Fights an army in such a way God delivers not only Lot and Lot's possessions, but all the other possessions from the other communities that were taken. And as Abraham comes back to the camp, everyone's singing his praises. And the king and the high priest, they're all singing his praises. The king says, listen, I want you to give me the men, but you can have all the possessions. Abraham says, no, it's not mine to take. I'm going to give back everything. I'm going to restore the lot, which was Lot's, but everything else I'm giving back to the communities. So Abraham was a man of integrity. Amen? Man of faith and obedience. And so what Abraham experienced here was that God was a great deliverer. And what you have to understand is God spoke a promise to Abraham. I am going to make a great nation out of you. But in meantime, he had all of these different scenarios, all of these different events in which God revealed who he was. Oh, God loves to share who he is. God loves to share that he's a comforter. He wants you to know that he's your provider. He wants you to know that he's your deliverer and your protector. Amen? And Abraham, you'll soon find out that God is your healer because he's going to touch your wife. Amen? But the promise that Abraham was looking for was a child. Was a child. A child was spoken to them. But here Abraham stands and he has all of this wealth. He has all of these great experiences with God. But he still is longing for the one promise that God spoke to him. Isn't that the most frustrating thing about having a promise? Is that you can be blessed in all of these areas, but you still long for the one thing that you desire. I guarantee it, if you talked to Abraham, he would have said, you know what, I'll give you everything for this one thing. I'll give it all up for this one thing. And doesn't it make you sometimes feel, I don't know, guilty or convicted, that you even complain, that you even desire, that you even murmur that you want this one thing so bad because you're so blessed in all these other areas? You know, you see these children overseas that have absolutely nothing, and you're like, why should I even, who am I to even think that I should have this promise? I mean, why should I even cling to this, you know? There's so many others with so much less. But this is what the Lord says to Abraham after this great moment where he has all of this wealth and all of this success and all of this accolades. Chapter 15, verse 1. The Lord says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your great reward. But Abram said, let me stop there. The Lord says, do not be afraid. I'm your great shield and your great reward. Well, thank you so much. But I want to hear that you are going to bless me with a child. I'm not interested in all this other stuff. I want to hear, Abraham, tomorrow is the day, right? Abraham was hungry to obtain the promises of God. And God says, I am your great reward. And even in this longing, even in this moment of not hearing exactly what Abraham wanted to hear, Abraham said this, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? The one, no one who will inherit my estate. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to him, your servant will not inherit your estate, but a son who is from your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky, count the stars indeed if you can. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And in that moment, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was accredited to him righteousness. Could you imagine? I mean, you're just asking for one child. And the Lord takes you outside and says, look at the stars. This is what your offspring's going to look like. And you're like, well, we just need to start with one. Even in that crazy moment of faith, Abraham believed. Abraham was a man of expectancy, a man of faith. He believed. Amen? But now, 11 years has passed, and no child. 11 years. 11 years of maybe, I don't know, maybe it's now. 11 years have passed. Each year, Sarah looks at her own reflection and she sees herself getting older. Abraham is aware that he's getting older. And the promises of God seem so very far away. Have you ever felt like that? And now, this is the moment that Sarah, Abraham's wife, persuades Abraham to take the maidservant Hagar to have a child. This is the moment where Abraham and Sarah get slammed for not having faith, that this was a moment that they were faithless, that they abandoned their faith in God, and they just were bankrupt on faith. I tend to disagree with that. I think that this was actually a moment of faith. What you have to understand is that Sarah for years, longed for a child to fulfill the promise that was spoken to Abraham. And after years of letdown, she got to this gut-wrenching realization that maybe it's not going to happen through me. And she made this request, this gut-wrenching request. This was not an easy request. This was a gut-wrenching request to say, I want you to take our maidservant because maybe then you can have the blessing that God spoke over you. It's just not going to happen to me. Have you ever felt like the promises of God just aren't going to happen for you? You got to understand that if she didn't believe in the promises of God, do you think that she would have made this request? No. It's because she wholeheartedly believed in the promises of God that she made this request. And this was an unselfish request. She was not thinking of herself. She was thinking about the promises that were spoken to the household and spoken directly to Abraham. Faithless? I don't think this was faithless. I do think that this is a moment where she gave up on hope. Hope that it could actually happen to her. Have you ever been there? You know, that's a difficult season because it seems as if the enemy wants to plague your mind with, well, the reason this can't happen to me is because I have sin in my life, or I'm so bad that this can't happen to me, or I'm just going to be terrible with the promises that I can't get this. Have you ever felt like that? I want you to know, Sarah, that this time of longing, this time of desiring, is not a time of punishment. It is a time of purification. Listen, Sarah had to deal with so much negative emotion. You know what's amazing about this time? It's a very blessed time, and you have to go through this time to truly obtain the promises of God. You can't avoid this time. When you long for something and you just can't get it, the promises of God seem so far away. And the thing that just boggles the mind is, God, why are you so late in this? I'm getting old each and every year. Where are you? Have you ever felt like that? She cried that cry every night. And she finally got to the place where she had no more hope that God would actually use her in fulfilling this promise, that she placed this gut-wrenching moment, this heartbreak of a request, and said, I want you to take the maidservant Hagar. And Abraham obeyed the request. It would actually be dishonoring if Abraham didn't. This is a blessed time in your pursuit of going after the promises of God if you find yourself here. And here's the reason why. Because it connects you to Christ in such a magnificent way that each and every day, only by His grace and His strength, can you even dwell, even exist. Have you been there? That you're so hungry for this promise that you're like, you know what? I can't even exist if it's not for God today. I don't even know how I'm going to deal with this letdown today. I don't even know how I'm going to go forward in this today. But I do know that each and every day, His grace is before me. His love is before me. His strength is before me. Amen? You know, that closeness with Christ can only come through just that longing, that wanting, that season. Nothing else can produce this. And you cannot truly obtain the promise without having this season. You know, I want to give some practical advice in this season too. Is you really have to be careful what you set your eyes upon. This is the practical advice. I would challenge you, if you find yourself here that you're longing for something, and that you are broken, and that you're just asking God for something, I would challenge you to really evaluate what social media you look at. About 2 years ago, I didn't have any money at all. All right, I had no money. And it was the summertime, and all I wanted to do is to go on vacation with my kiddos. All right? And it's funny because you take the kids to the beach and they love each other and they make sandcastles and they play and they love. It's just a great time. And then as soon as you get back home, they just cannot stand each other. You know, and you're like, I don't know what the deal is, but maybe we just need to live on the beach. But that year, I'm telling you, every single one of y'all went on like 12 vacations and y'all put it on Facebook, all these pictures, every single one of you, and I didn't like any of y'all. I mean, I would look at people, I'd be like, man, this guy's been to Disney World 4 times, and I'm just trying to get to Holiday World, you know? Like, I can't even get there. And you look at those pictures, you're like, you know what? I'm just a terrible person. God doesn't love me. Don't you ever feel that way, like when something bad happens to you, that, you know, we always blame it, like, God doesn't love me. I got my electric bill this month. I was like, Lord, what did I do? Lord. I was like, man, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I walked in the house and every light was on. It's like, man. But we always feel like, you know, that we've let God down in this. 11 years go by. And Sarah tells Abraham to take his servant, and he does. And now the news has come forth that she is pregnant, and Sarah loses her mind. She underestimated how much pain she would feel hearing the news. The good news that the maidservant was pregnant. Man, doesn't that hurt? when the thing that you've been asking for so long, it seems like it's so easy for everyone else to get. And so she goes to Abraham, Sarah goes to Abraham, and she says, "You've caused this suffering in my life." He's like, "Man, I don't know what I did." I'm sure he didn't say anything. If he's like me, he's like, "Don't say a word. Just don't say anything." But Abraham, all of a sudden Sarah unloads on Hagar. And here, listen, look at this. Hagar is out, chapter 16, verse 9. Hagar is out in the desert. Sarah just has unloaded on her. And Hagar's distressed. And the Lord sends an angel. Think about this. If this was such a great letdown, if this moment with Abraham and Hagar was such a great letdown in faith, such a disgusting moment in Abraham's life, his big blemish, if this was such a disgusting moment, then why did God name Ishmael? Look at this. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hands will be against everyone, and everyone's hands against him. He will live in hostility towards all of his brothers." And she said to the Lord, "You are the God who sees me." And he instructed her to return to the house and be submissive to Sarah's authority. Now take a look at the quality and the character of Ishmael. God says, "You're pregnant with a son, and he's going to have hostility, anger. He's going to be without order, and he's bitter." He's bitter. This is the characteristics of Ishmael: hostility, anger, without order, and he's bitter. And so, for 13 years, Abraham's now 86 years old when he gives birth to Ishmael. 86. So 12 years have gone by since the promise was first spoken to him. And now Ishmael's born, and listen to this. For 13 years, Abraham raises Ishmael as the promised son. For 13 years. This wasn't like a couple weeks. This wasn't a month. For 13 years, he loved his son. That he was training his son to take over his household. He was training his son to be, hopefully, the birthing of a great nation. He was training his son in all the ways. Each and every day, he was with him during his formative years. He coached him. He fathered him. He loved him. All of his emotions were poured into him. And at the same time, Sarah had to see this child who was conceived, who was birthed, who was raised and grew up. Could you imagine the pain and sorrow that she had? Seen Hagar hold the very promise that she longed for. For 13 years, the promise had came forth, and his name was Ishmael. 13 years. Sarah, I know that you have to watch this, and I can only imagine how many times you cried yourself asleep during these 13 years of longing and waiting. Have you found yourself longing and waiting for a promise? And it just seems to be hopeless at this point. Actually, it seems to be fulfilled through somebody else. Could you imagine the negative emotion that she had to consume and deal with? But here she is, longing for a child. And Sarah, I want you to know that there is an appointed time, and there is a day when you will have a son, and his name will be called Isaac. There is a day. There is a day. There is a day. Amen. Let's go to chapter 21 and look at this. There is a day. Chapter 21, verse 1 starts off with the magnificent word, now. Isn't that what you want to hear in the promises? Now. Not tomorrow, not later, now. This is what Abraham has been waiting for. Now, the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as she said, and the Lord did for her as he promised. Amen. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old. 25 years has passed since it was first spoken to him. 25 years! It seems like forever, doesn't it? It doesn't when you stand there in that moment. Oh, 25 years. 25 years. And Sarah said these words, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears will laugh with me. Oh, why? Why do we have to wait so long for this? I'll tell you the reason why. Because the measure of joy that is associated with the promise, the measure of laughter that is associated with obtaining the promise, can only be felt from years of longing for it. And every promise is joy. And that joy is so grand, it will boggle your mind. And you only can obtain it through longing for it and waiting for it year after year. And then when you finally get it, you cherish it like you've never cherished anything before. Do you think if they had a son 25 years ago that they would hold it the same way? That they would know that this was from God? No way. 25 years of all of these other battles, experiencing God as a comforter, experiencing him as a deliverer, experiencing him as a protector, experiencing him as a provider, and now you experience him as your healer, for he touched her body. I know the promise that God has spoken to you, you're so hungry for, and I want you to know that there will be a day, there is a now moment for your life. Amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. And when you obtain it, you are going to have a measure of joy that boggles your mind. Laughter will fill your house like it's never been filled before. Amen. And all those who hear of your moment, they'll laugh with you. Oh, let's give God a hand clap of praise. But we got a problem now. Because now we got two promises underneath one roof. Right? Oh, we got two promises underneath one roof. And both of them are demanding everything from Abraham. Look at what is said. Sarah says to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son. For that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. Now think about this for Abraham. He was so distraught. All of his emotions, all of his affections were tied into Ishmael. He loved this child. He loved him. He raised him to take over his entire household. And now the promised child that Ishmael was to be is not. And the Lord had guided Abraham's hand and said, I want you to have Ishmael leave your household. Doesn't that seem harsh? Doesn't that seem harsh? You want to know how to kill a man with a promise? You want to know how to kill a man with a promise? You give him another. You want to know how to kill a man with a vision? You give him another vision, and another vision, and another vision. And all of a sudden, the original promise, the original vision that he had in his life is so far removed, and he has all these other promises, all these other visions, and all these promises and all these visions are trying to get all of who he is, and he can't give all of himself to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 different things. You can't have 2 promises in the same roof. God says you can't love me and money. Amen? You can't have 2 promises in the same roof because both are competing for everything that you are. Here's the problem with some of us. Some of us simply flirt too much. We flirt too much. We flirt too much. And the problem is the original promise that you had looks hopeless. And it doesn't look as good as the new vision that you are creating for yourself. Through conversation, through thoughts, and these ideas that you are flirting with. Ooh-wee. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you're flirting with someone you shouldn't be flirting with because you think that your marriage is hopeless. This could be you're flirting with a business transaction that questions your overall integrity and you know that you shouldn't do it. Maybe you're flirting with different ideas that aren't bad, but you know that they're not the original idea that God spoke to your heart. And in your hopelessness, like Sarah, you're flirting with this idea that maybe I'm not good enough and maybe it just needs to come through a different means. We flirt too much with these ideas. You can't have 2 promises in the same roof. And then it's same weird that, you know, it's not like they said, I want you to have Ishmael move outside of the house. He could live down the street, cross the hall, but he just can't be in here. No. She says, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Now, Abraham was so distressed with this because he loved Ishmael. And he went before the Lord, and the Lord said, I will be with him, for your seed is in him. I will make him into a great nation, but he's not the promised nation. Yes, Ishmael is the birthing of the Arab nations who have taken the seed of the Muslim faith, the darkness, and have walked away from the original instruction that his father gave him about Jehovah. We are not to hate the Muslims. We are to pray for the Muslims. And God intentionally made Ishmael into a great nation. And our prayer needs to be that that great nation will rid themselves of the darkness and the lie and see the light of the gospel and come back to their father, come back to the true faith and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Yes, let's give God a hand clap of praise. You come on up, bud. Thank you. But here's the thing that we got to know as we close. He says, I want you to get rid of it completely. Get rid of it completely. Why? Why does Ishmael have to leave? 2 promises can't be in the same house. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Ishmael is known as what? Being angry, being hostile, being bitter, being without order. And listen, God is saying, the promise that I have for you, you cannot have any bitterness. You cannot have any hostility. You cannot have any anger. I know that this was the assumed promise, but I have a better blessing for you. And I know some of you have been let down by broken promises, and you have to rid yourself of the bitterness, the hostility, and the anger, and the letdown of all of those experiences, and trust in a new promise that God has for you. Oh, you can't live with it across the hall. You got to rid yourself of that bitterness. Amen? You can't have it in the same roof. He says, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because I have a new blessing for you. I have a greater blessing for you. And you can't fully obtain it if you still have the bitterness of the last promise that you thought was. Amen? See, the difference between Ishmael and Isaac wasn't Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. He was the father of integrity. He was the father of obedience. The difference was the mother. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me and listen to me well. And every single promise that God has spoken, and there's great promises represented in this room right here today. You have to understand that in every single promise, there is this reflection of Abraham. This reflection that you have to have faith and you have to have obedience and you have to have integrity to obtain the thing that God has for you. You have to have it. When you obtain that promise that God has spoken for in your life, you will obtain it by faith and order and obedience. Amen? But there's also a reflection of Sarah represented in every promise. And that reflection is a time of longing, a time of crying yourself asleep, the midnight cry. There's a reflection of hoping beyond hope, exhausting yourself to the point where you don't think that you have anything else left. There's a time of being let down. There's a time of sorrow. There's a time of wondering why. Oh, I know you have all these other blessings in your life, but you're still longing for the one thing that God has spoken to you. And in every blessing, you have this faith and obedience and this time of perseverance and longing for the very thing that God has spoken to your heart. It's so magnificent, this thing that God has for your life. God has a blessing and a promise to each and every single one of you here. And when you obtain it, you, like Sarah, will be so overwhelmed with joy and laughter that it'll just blow your mind. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.